You know, they came in search late and then just converted in on the new infrastructure. If you look at some of the things that they're doing, like docs and spreadsheets, challenging Microsoft on a frontal basis, they're actually putting a lot of pressure on them. So, you know, the question is, who are those other companies? And I think it's still to be determined, and I think you're going to see a lot of brands come out of that. So today, you know, this conference kind of symbolizes the packed house around, you know, Web 2.0 and Media 2.0 from my standpoint, and really is about user-generated content, viral communities, the idea of sharing information. It used to be email was the way to share stuff. Now people are sharing with blogs, et cetera. So you, the user or the person is at the center of all this. So, you know, video has become the key, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the different media formats, audio versus video, and how that, you know, plays with it. So to me, new media formats create new brands, and, you know, we're an example of that. You know, a guy with a camera can win an award and get a check, and that's what's happening right now. New brands and new names are coming out there. Sid Frank, Rocket Boom, you know, hiphopmusic.com. Even old characters like Jerry Zucker are now changing their programming and development capabilities, not for the big screen, but for the web. The big trend is about video, and a quote here just recently from Informa Research was, with all the social change occurring in such a large scale, traditional media companies are being forced to change their behavior and business models to adapt their offering to consumer demand. The challenge for the TV industry is to monetize this massive interest in online content. There's so much money flowing out there right now. Google's capturing about a quarter of the complete online advertising budget right now, or the industry, 25% of the total budget, or spend, if you will. This data holds true. If you look at some of the viewership, you can see that I try to box in some of the key notable trends, but ages 18 to 24 are watching more YouTube than TV. And you know, MySpace clearly is a big center of that. You see that going on now, is that, you know, people just aren't watching TV anymore. With TiVo and digital recorders, you know, it's time shifting. I think we'll see the end of time-based programming as we know it in a few years, and that's going to have an impact on a lot of things, from content development to distribution, and at the end of the day, getting paid. Online advertising is growing like crazy. More money's coming online. It needs to go somewhere. Right now, it's contextual and behavioral advertising and sponsorships. I think you're going to see a huge growth in video ads in a new way. Companies that would never advertise on TV because, you know, doesn't hit their market, will advertise video in blogs and online in these communities where they know they got a captive audience. So I think you're going to see a huge demand in video advertising in the next few years, and obviously that's coming from TV. It's also changing. If you look at some key things that I can share with you, is that the blogosphere, as it's called, or blogs, if you will, are causing a huge amount of shifts. I could manipulate the Google ranking when they've now fixed that, but blogs are out there and they are driving a lot of consumption from users. Users are going to bloggers because they provide real value, and it's doubling every 6 months. This is true for what's going on in what they call the video blogosphere or vlogging, video blogging. And this chart doesn't include MySpace, which in my opinion is basically a blog for young people. So, what's going on with video? In the old way, basically, you had TV, cable, satellite, and then the internet came along. But internet video never really clicked. There's always a fight between Windows player, media player. I got to download something. It never really clicked, in my opinion, until we saw really flash players become the de facto player of the net, where it's for users very easy to use. And really with YouTube, that created user-generated content, which became a huge growth right now. And what you're going to see beyond YouTube is a whole new set of programming from new producers, new programs, and new networks. And that's some of the things that we're working on right now, is you're going to see all kinds of programming. Just as an aside, I remember when Fox launched their network, the talk was, well, there's not enough room for another network. There's tons of news out there. Why would anyone want another news channel? They had programming like The Simpsons. They're like, what the hell's The Simpsons? You know, so these kinds were the kinds of things that were coming on. Now Fox is a major network. You're going to see the same thing in the internet, I believe. You're going to see all new producers. And then, more importantly, you're going to see existing professionals move to the internet, where they can have a direct relationship with users, like what Microsoft did with Channel 9, as I mentioned earlier. The distribution, the internet's free. So in my case, it was a free distribution mechanism. I didn't have to pay anyone, it just did it on its own. It's called word of mouth networks, social media, viral networks, social software, communities, Web 2.0. There'll be a new buzzword next week. But at the end of the day, it's this new infrastructure around RSS, and blogs are the new infrastructure. And the content is being developed and created for and by this expanding blogosphere. So you're going to see, again, users at the center of it. I think you'll see huge innovations around filtering. So for the VCs out there, I see that the investment opportunities would be around the same kind of search paradigm you saw in the 90s. Who can make it easier, who can make it filtered, who can make it more relevant. The real opportunity around the blogosphere is it's doubling every 6 months, but it's expanding beyond text, seeing audio podcasting becoming really important now in terms of how anyone can share information. Just talking with John Udell, he was mentioning that he's doing podcasts for InfoWorld, and he's also doing some podcasts that are now being syndicated on New Hampshire Public Radio. So you're seeing anyone who's got an opinion that has subject matter expert can be a producer, and that's where you see a lot more growth. Video blogging is now becoming an industry. We held in November, PodTech held the Vloggies, which was the first annual video blog awards, which I'll talk at the end. And you got the iPhone coming out. Nokia's got a new phone that has video and podcasting capabilities, and the user interface is getting richer and richer. But really, the thing about the blogosphere is that it's being recognized by mainstream media and consumers as a bona fide source of reporting and entertainment. And you see this with the presidential elections. They all launched with blogs and video blogs on their own site, and they push that out to YouTube and these new sites. So you're going to see blogs become much more credible. It's not just the wacky guy who doesn't have a life. It's going to be a person who quits their job because there's a middleman involved, like Matt Marshall from the Mercury News, who goes direct and takes his franchise and makes five times more money just doing his column on a blog, low overhead, and he gets the audience and he has advertisers. So you're going to see a new wave of this new talent coming on board. And big brands are moving into the blogosphere. You're seeing Intel, Symantec, Seagate, tech companies mainly because they're early adopters, say, hey, if someone's got an audience, we want to reach them in a new way. And that's, you'll see video ads and you'll see sponsorships, et cetera. This creates kind of a new reality with the economics shifting away from the middleman. You're seeing a direct business model, which is compelling for advertisers. But for the users and the audiences, they're overwhelmed by a massive amounts of new media hitting them. And same problem happened in the search days where, I remember when AltaVista was the dominating search engine, and then Yahoo just made it really easy, and then there it is, there's Yahoo. The search engines are becoming unmanageable. Google and Yahoo are struggling with this every day. A web page used to take basically days to update. If you're in a corporation, you have to get IT involved, and then there it is, you have a long time, gets approved and it gets updated. Basically a blog update in seconds. I did two blog posts this morning from the back of the room, sent it up to the internet, that instantly hits all the search engines and they gotta make sense of that. So search is becoming unmanageable now. So you're seeing search engines actually becoming cluttered with basically paid links and or what they call black hat techniques around search engine optimization, which is basically a fancy way of saying guys are spamming the search indexes. So users are having a hard time even with Google and Yahoo. So users are looking for a new direction, and that's going to be an opportunity. So there's a new set of navigators out there. So users are producers. So in the Boston area, I just pulled out a couple bloggers that I follow and video bloggers, Doc Searles, Nick Carr, who writes the blog Rough Type. Doc Searles wrote the book Clue Train Manifesto, John Udell, who was speaking earlier, Steve Garfield, Andy Plesher. These are the new navigators. They have credibility with their audiences. Audiences trust them. They have relationships with other people producing content. And so people are looking to them for some filtering. And so you're seeing this dynamic going across other bloggers. During the Patriots run, I followed the bloggers here in New England. All my friends joke with me. I moved out to California in 1999, and the Red Sox win a World Series, and the Patriots win three Super Bowls. They said, don't come back. Stay in California. But I've been following the sports scene here with Boston.com and the bloggers, and listening to talk radio and some new podcasts out there from amateurs with the Boston accent. It's like I'm there from California. So they're navigating me locally. So it's a whole new world out there. And these are the guys that are navigating. And they're not crazy. They're real credible people. So why do we in this new media matter? Bloggers, podcasts, and video bloggers reach the most important people. You're seeing authoritative, creative, powerful people putting out their opinions. And people are following this, and credibility is a track record behind them. they're usually leading the conversation, calling out people. If someone's bullshitting someone, they'll call them out and creates conversation around that. And then from that, you know, more people get involved. And at the end of the day, it's a production environment. Some of the best stories on the New York Times and Wall Street Journal get vetted out in the blogosphere first. And that's becoming kind of a known practice among some of the media people. And people, the bloggers promote innovation and trust. They own their content, they can collaborate, and then they change with the times. And they make money. So the monetization, which everyone wants to know about, show me the money. They're making money. Video and bloggers are making money. It's growing like crazy, five times the podcasting market. Audio podcasting is not as viral as blogs and video, but still important. You can create a new user experience. People are getting fresh content. I did a query the other day. I'm working on sales compensation from my company, and I was looking for some ideas around how to structure sales compensation. I went into Google and typed sales compensation plans. It took me 20 minutes to realize that Google had nothing for me to offer because most of the links were like linked to some white paper or some sort of paid content, and it's not what I was looking for. I went to TechnoRati and within 5 minutes found two bloggers in the marketing space who were talking about the definitive book on sales compensation. It was a big fat textbook, and I went to Borders that night and bought it. And that's the new search. And that's where you're seeing a user experience from these bloggers. Video is offering high value, high yield to the advertisers. And that's where you're gonna see the money in these little micro communities. And why is that happening? It's really because of targeting. In the search business, it used to be the generic keywords were worth the most. And I pulled a friend of mine who owns a printing shop, online printing shop, and I asked him, he told me some of the challenges he had, but he told me what his cost per acquisition was with Google keywords. He loved the price per click Google Yahoo keywords. He told me that they used to buy the keywords business card because he figured that was a generic word, more people will type it in, they'll get delivered to his site. But when he did the analysis, it was basically $200 per customer worth to him in terms of his value. But he found out that the keyword that really paid off for him and which they're now buying is four-color brochure. That keyword, although not obvious, generated better value for him. He stopped buying the business card keyword and now moving into that because it delivers a much more targeted audience. Today, traditional advertising online, you got Yahoo, which is kind of doing banners to the mass audience. Really doesn't compare to what Google's doing. Google can provide an advertiser, a huge global audience, but can give them contextual targeted conversion on the keyword on the contextual transaction. So in the media business, what is the next level? You know, YouTube, not a lot of people are advertising on YouTube. The president of News Corp said that there's not a lot of uptake on YouTube, mainly because it's an undifferentiated mass audience. Certainly you can reach a lot of people on YouTube, but you're not getting any targeting. So there's a new opportunity for a company to come out there and deliver targeted conversion, and that's where we're playing in there. Shifting gears about the media formats, which is a big part of the user side of the equation, we've noticed that when we were doing just podcasting, that we had a nice audience developing, but we didn't have a lot of comments on our site, and it wasn't growing as fast as some of my friends' blogs companies were, and the video companies like YouTube. When we did the analysis, was the size of the audience was a lot smaller, but blogs and video were much more viral. Video is very viral. People sharing videos, they're talking about videos, they watch videos. Blogs is text, it's easy to read. Podcasting takes a lot of commitment. So you're seeing, you know, it's not about being more rich, it's about where the viral aspect is. And so blogs and video are more viral than audio. But that doesn't make it more or less important. In the analysis, when I look at the engaging side of it, which is really a key value for advertisers. Advertisers want to reach kind of an audience that has full attention or engaged or guaranteed attention. Blogs actually have less attention than audio and video, mainly because blogs can be scanned. Most people who read blogs scan blogs. I've never met anyone who says, I spend 100% of my attention reading this blog. And so that's kind of the user behavior. Audio, that, however, people is kind of unclaimed time. People will take a podcast with them jogging, skiing, or if they want to, you know, get some information, they'll actually listen to it intently. In video, it gets even better than that. Video gives full attention. People will focus on it. So this is where the dynamics work with the media, and the key that we've learned is, and I share with you, is that integrating all three is really where the new models are developing, and integrating them together creates a self-reinforcing model. So you may have people who listen to podcasts, also watch videos, and also read blogs, with a little bit of overlap in the audiences. But when you start talking about conversations like on blogs, and then video and podcasts, if you integrate them together, it leads to a much more engaged audience and kind of brings them together. And that's where the blogosphere has become a really important part of what we're doing and what advertisers want to get into. Because the conversations are on the net right now with blogs, and the media supplements that. Yesterday, the global conversation on the internet was Steve Jobs' DRM thing. So in the blogosphere, the number one topic around the world being talked about was Steve Jobs' open letter about his stance on DRM. That dominated the blogosphere around the world for a full 24 hours. Today, the top topic being talked about in the blogosphere is that Albany has put some legislation around crossing the street with your iPod. That you're not allowed to do it. Now, I don't know if that's a big topic, but that is important because it's like, you know, what are we getting to? So that was the conversation being talked about as of half hour ago. So the ability to integrate these offerings and enable the media to really kind of get these audiences, and that's where the advertisers want, that's where the money to be made is. So really kind of the content in this brave new world and the brave new ways is the global free distribution system, the web. The user-generated content is key. You're going to see a rise in what I call professional or producer-generated content. You're going to see a new breed of producers come out of this, professionals, people who know what they're talking about. At the end of the day, you know, audiences want to be around people who know what the hell they're talking about. And so, you know, the marketing for these companies want to focus on that. That's where the viral communities come in, the share. The multiple formats for richness and users dominate as disruptive. So new brands are emerging. I think you're going to see some new producers. I mentioned about the vloggies, the first annual Video Blog Awards we held in November. We had all these new video bloggers show up, and we handed out awards to them. It was the first time ever that the video bloggers were recognized. But Jerry Zucker showed up, and he delivered a keynote speech, which I'll share with you, that someone from the audience clipped to kind of end it before questions. And he talks about the significance of kind of this new platform. Introducing Jerry Zucker.
Thank you, John. It's Shane, a real pleasure to be here at the first annual Vloggies. I actually don't really have any interest in video blogging. I just like going to the first annual of anything because you just never know what might happen. And so I've been doing a lot of that, and so far it hasn't worked out that well. I was at the first annual Big Maxis. and the pet.com is. And besides, you know, these awards are probably meaningless if Kanye West doesn't win. Thank you. I think you showed a little too much liquor on there. But I do want to tell you just a little story that business. As a matter of fact, I'd probably still be living in Milwaukee with my parents if I hadn't gotten hold of a videotape machine in 1970. It was about this big and this thick. It had two big reels, you know, with half-inch tape. It was a Sony with a thick cord and a big camera that went with it. If someone lent it to my brother and me, actually my father had wanted us to get into industrial videos. He thought that was because we didn't really have anything to do. And and we were 40 in this. No. So we got this videotape machine, and we all, with a friend of ours, Jim Abrams, we all ended up in the basement of our house in Milwaukee, just fooling around, and we thought it was the most amazing thing because you could see it instantly, and you could have a whole hour on a reel, and you could erase stuff, and if you've got another machine, you could edit it, and it was even as clunky as it was back then. It was, you know, it was amazing, and was we had Jim Abrams with a suit, well, a sport coat and a tie, and looking, you know, very dignified or as much as he possibly could, and looking, sitting there reading a book, and we played some classical music, some pretentious classical piece, and at the end he just looked at the camera and spit a ping pong ball out of his mouth. And so I just want to give you an idea that we weren't that sophisticated or that funny then, but that was the funniest thing we had ever seen at that moment. We thought that was fantastic. But the idea was we were just experimenting. We were playing. We were having fun with this whole new field. But then when we finally started to collect a lot of bits and do a lot of things, what we had to actually build a theater and with 150 seats to bring people in to watch it. What you have today is the possibility to take this stuff and send it around the world and without really for nothing. And the equipment is fantastic. It is going to change the way we view entertainment. The studios in Hollywood are already a mess. This new technology is going to change entertainment, I believe, and you're all at the beginning of it, so good luck and God bless.
That was a keynote speech that he gave at the first annual Vloggies, which is in San Francisco in November, and really it was I wanted to show that to you because he's been in the business for years. He's got a script. He was trying to get to New Line Cinema, and the studios are a mess, and you have all these people who are professionals and new emerging talent out there looking to develop content, and you know, the net is going to be there for it. So you know, that's the big story, is that there's a massive shift going on in the media business. AI models are going to be wrapping around it, new AI models, great opportunities out there, and kind of new reality. So that's my talk. And any questions? I could have time, ask questions, open it up.
Exciting time. I think with technologies like Apple's iTV coming out, Microsoft has an iTV solution. I mean, I can't even tell you how many people still don't know about podcasting, at least in my friends and colleagues. So I see it just exploding. My concern, though, and I hope you can share your thoughts on it, is do you see any problems with the chaos coming around when, as Nielsen's system of internet ratings and TV ratings starts coming less effective, and what that might impact to our economy? And
I think it's great. It needs to be, you know, shut down. It's just so ineffective. The best thing about the internet is that everything's measurable. And so if you look at some of the, like Google's a great example, I mean, everything that they do is measurable. That's why advertisers love Google, because they can actually do, you know, qualitative and quantitative analysis on how effective it is. So, you know, I think the media business is going to have measurement mandates. So I think, you know, opportunity again for the VCs and entrepreneurs out there is metrics. I think Jeff Jarvis just recently wrote in a blog post, he wants to call for a kind of a metrics summit around standardizing what metrics mean. But right now there's metrics out there just by, you know, how many downloads you can get. I think you're going to start to see much more targeted metrics, like if you got an environment or a blog or a community that, you know, has software developers in it, you want to know how many people are there, how many people are listening. So new kinds of metrics, you know, someone's influence. If someone talks about a product, so if someone basically, you know, produces media, you know, their influence directly impacts distribution. My podcasts got distribution because when I was doing my podcast when I first started out, I was in the middle of Silicon Valley and no one else was podcasting. So by default, I had the market share of Silicon Valley podcasts. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people in India, and we now have a channel there and a franchise in India doing this. Doing podcasts and kind of sharing, but you know, people were listening in China, India, Latin America, Eastern Europe. So there's a huge demand for what was going on in Silicon Valley, and I was the only voice talking about things that people wanted to talk about, like how to start a company, you know, how to get funding. These are stuff that I was just winging off the cuff, and you know, I think you're going to see the metrics come around. I think it's going to be much more of a next generation thing. I think you're going to see younger people doing it. Right now, pretty much podcast is going to get simpler. And obviously what Jerry Zucker was saying is that, you know, they were experimenting with, you know, the big machines. Now you got like this picture, a guy with an HD camera that costs $5,000. You can get them used now on eBay and these sites are Craigslist for like two and a half K. So for, you know, almost $3,000, you can get an HD camera. I have an HD camera right here. This is an HD camera, and I did just some interviewing out in the hallway, and I got some footage, it's on an SD card. I feel like I'll upload it tonight, but probably not. I'll wait till I get back to California. But you can get the high-end camera, so, you know, the Nokia phones have video in it. So I think it's going to be much more commonplace to produce media, and the, if you can measure it and show the audience, you'll get paid. That's where it's going.
So you talked about, I guess, the barrier to entry being so low with podcasting and blogging. As more people start to enter this world, how does the market measure credibility? Because it seems like now you look at, you know, who to go read because of what company they came from or what work they did. But as this market starts to fill, how do I know from John Doe from Jane Doe in terms of what they have to say, and why should I pay attention to them?
The question is how to know what to look at as more and more content comes on. Absolutely true. I mean, that's what we're facing right now. That's why we're at the dawn of a new, brave new era, a brave new web, if you will. There's a lot of crap out there, and some good stuff kind of blended in there. Same phenomenon we saw with search and with the web. When the web was web pages, first was good, and then there was, you can filter it out. So, you know, Yahoo did a nice user interface, and then, you know, Google innovated on the algorithmic search. So I think the opportunity is going to be for entrepreneurs is, what is the new search paradigm? How do you filter? Right now, what's happening is people are getting on board, at least in the blogosphere, is saying, okay, who's hot? Who do they want to associate with? So human nature kind of takes over and say, oh, you know, I'm into Web 2.0, so I'll read, you know, TechCrunch or, you know, Robert Scoble, or, hey, I like what they're talking about. So people tend to associate around people as one authoritative way to get filtering. And then what happens is users start to vote. So what happens is if someone starts accumulating a following, it instantly becomes, oh, I want to check them out. So you get people in this kind of drive-by mode. And then ultimately, the people's voices and their opinions speak for themselves. And the internet's an infinite number of channels. So what you have on the internet is the ability to produce unlimited programming. So there's always the ability to switch to something else. And what you'll see is eventually people will form into communities of like minds. And so there's a little bit of user filter and opinions, but that's really going to get much better and better, and that's where the entrepreneurs, I think, are going to do a lot more work.